Good morning. It's Thursday, May 30th. I'm Kyle Omler with the guru, Chris Bellina, and you're listening to The Blitz. We have knocked out 18 teams already. Wow. We just keep chugging along here. If you missed it, go back, listen to all those past episodes. And what you're missing is a team-by-team breakdown of all the player movements so far in the offseason.
This is valuable information. I mean, to give yourself an edge over your competition. A lot of your opponents, they don't start thinking about it until the magazines hit the racks in July. Get a couple of steps ahead of them by listening to some of this stuff. Both Kyle and I have extensive years in fantasy football. Again, there's no degree in fantasy football. We're as qualified as anybody to give this information, if not more qualified, because we both have over 20 years experience. Give yourself a little bit of an edge. Listen to these podcasts.
Boy, I wish there was a degree in fantasy football.
I'd been a doctorate.
Exactly.
Why I'm called the guru.
I don't even know if I would have studied, but I probably would have at least enjoyed studying it, though. You know,
I'd be going by my gut.
Go by your gut. I think I would have studied hard, just like I do now. You know, I look at all these little paperwork and I look at it all, but it's all out of love. It's no work involved at all.
Nope.
Yeah, we left off last week on the M's, so we're starting on the N's. New England is the very first team that we're going to talk about today, and they had a great acquisition in the offseason. They were all worried because they lost their main wide receiver. Tom Brady took this great pay cut to try and keep him, and the front office kind of boned him and brought in somebody new. So how bad is that move going to affect Tom Brady?
You know, Wes Welker, I mean, you have the uncertainty with Gronkowski. Even Hernandez, I mean, had some shoulder surgery. I mean, he has an entirely new receiving corps. Gone are Danny Woodhead out of the backfield. Gone are Wes Welker. Injured is Rob Gronkowski. Gone is Brandon Lloyd. You know, you're bringing in Danny Amendola, who's been injury prone. Can he stay on the field? Can't help you much on the sideline. They've drafted Aaron Dobson, who they're already penciling in as a starter, sight unseen. Will Julian Edelman now step in, mini Wes Welker, and actually fill the Wes Welker role? I mean, they tried to sign every wide receiver under the sun. They tried to get Emmanuel Sanders from Pittsburgh. They signed Donald Jones. They signed Leon Washington to maybe be the Danny Woodhead replacement. Bottom line is this is a team in transition on offense, and they lost some significant players on offense. I mean, the advantage is you do have Tom Brady as a Hall of Famer, and they've gone through this transition before from firing the ball down the field to Randy Moss to more of an over-the-middle passing game with the tight ends. I'm curious to see how everything pans out. I really do.
Yeah, Edelman to me, not the answer, obviously. No. If he was the answer, then why would they go out? I mean, they've had this guy on the roster forever. Fantasy players, fantasy owners have been trying to buy the hype with Edelman for years now. If he had anything, he would have shown it by now, I think. So that's a guy who's going to be backup material only. Amendola scares the bejesus out of me, though.
I think they really were expecting to have Emmanuel Sanders on their roster. Now, he's been injury prone. He's had his issues. He's never really panned out with the Steelers. But I really think in that offense, he really would have been a good deep threat to replace Brandon Lloyd, a younger version of Brandon Lloyd.
Agreed.
So I don't really think they expected not to get him. I really don't. And Steelers ponied up and leaves a major hole with New England. Now, Aaron Dobson could come back, and I'll tell you, if it looks like Gronkowski's not going to come back, I wouldn't be shocked if they tried their hand at bringing Randy Moss back.
It is scary, too. You're right, because here's Gronkowski. Nobody is concerned about it when it's December, when it's January.
Now no PA start. Yeah.
Now we're getting closer and closer, and this guy still isn't 100%.
And he's having all kinds of different infections and this and that, so their offense feels it when they're both not in there.
And you want to be positive. You want to say, oh, he'll be back. But you keep saying that, will he be back? I mean, it's just tough. I mean, obviously, we don't have an inside source there in the doctor's office. Not as though they're going to tell anybody. That's New England. They keep everything hush-hush.
Well, I'll tell you, what this basically does for me as someone who's drafting, if I'm sitting 3, 4, 5 in my draft, I may pass on Tom Brady. I mean, it was dead set. Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady's your top three quarterbacks. I mean, I may go look at other options over Tom Brady just because of the uncertainty on offense.
And how much pressure do they just – I know it's Tom Brady. But could they help him out a little bit, please? It's as though they are challenging him, testing him, to see how much stuff they can take away from him
and
manage to see how successful he can still be.
I don't know what the logic was in not in giving away 112 receptions.
Yeah.
Especially with the uncertainty of Gronkowski. Now, I don't know if it just didn't. I mean, they never won a Super Bowl, Welker. Let's not forget that. They haven't won a championship with him on the roster. I'm not saying he was a jinx, but you know, it's not like saying, oh, you're giving this guy. He helped that offense run, but he didn't bring him to a championship. Think what you're going to see with this offense? A lot more Stephen Ridley.
That's what I'm wondering. That whole offense has, for years, always been Tom Brady's offense.
Yep.
You know, be damned the running attack. Well, are they thinking maybe Tom, we're going to hand off a lot more because they go ahead and they have been drafting running backs quite a bit and bringing guys in. So,
well, yeah, I mean, I see Ridley's taking a big step forward this year. He had a great year last year. He was a good, solid number one running back who probably went middle of the draft. But you know what? He's not that middle of the draft running back. He's a top three rounds running back this year.
Would you feel comfortable having him as your number one running
back? I'm not romping in the fields, but if I'm going with the philosophy of I want to really get two stud wide receivers, or I'm going to get Breeze or Aaron Rodgers, I would be comfortable if Stephen Ridley was there for me late in the second round.
So top 12, like, 12 man league. You think he's one of the top 12 running backs? If it's 12 man league, then he can at least be a number one running back. Do you think he fits in that?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Okay. I do. You know, I think he does. And, again, he's going to have a lot of opportunities. Again, for as bad as New England's defense is as far as giving up yards, they're opportunistic, which means they're going to get a lot of turnovers, which means more opportunities to run the ball. They're going to get blowout wins, which means they're going to need a guy like Ridley to pound the clock, get rid of the clock, keep Brady safe. I'm not comfortable with him if I'm in a 12-man league and I'm picking eight and I'm taking him. No, I'm not even taking him in the wraparound. If I'm picking 8 through 12, I'm not comfortable there with him. As my number one, I'm thinking wide receiver there. But if I'm late, if I had my first, if I had first or second or third pick overall, and I got my quarterback, I'd be comfortable with him in the second or third round, that early, late second, early third, and him being my number one.
Yeah, if I had eight, I'd probably go wide receiver and then try and see if Jimmy Graham was still there.
Well, right.
We're going to have to update our list, obviously, of player rankings, so we can look at this and say, well, this guy, he's going to have to fall as a second running back or something like that. We got to get that available, get it up onto our blog so everybody can see it. But in the draft, did they improve upon anything that they needed to get?
Well, I think they got Aaron Dobson, who kind of a guy under the radar. You know, he's from Marshall. I mean, again, he's not in the Randy Moss mold. But there will be some comparisons because he was from Marshall. And a TCU guy, Josh Boyd, in the fourth. So, they're looking to get younger. I think what they're hoping is, one of these two guys can have an impact this year. Again, receivers very rarely come in and have an impact. But then again, you got Tom Brady throwing to you.
Exactly.
So there's a good chance you're gonna be more productive early. The first time you run a wrong route and Tom Brady gets intercepted, you're going to be on the bench. So I really think they have a shot to have a stud wide receiver out of the two. I'm leaning towards Dobson. And if you're in a rookie draft league or because it's New England or Dynasty League, you could get him in the 7 to 10 spot with your draft because, again, he's not a big name. He wasn't one of the top receivers that you heard about all leading up to the draft. But he has a chance to have pretty good production if he can get to the starting lineup. And, again, a lot of it will have to do with Tom Brady's level of confidence in him.
Right. If Amendola goes down, who's the wide receiver that owners need to target so that they make sure?
Edelman.
Edelman is your guy.
Edelman's my guy. I really don't see anybody else who – you're not going to have a rookie come in and get 100 catches.
Yeah, who's going to be ready, obviously, to come in.
Yeah, I mean, they may get you some production, but I really don't – I mean, I see Edelman because Edelman's had some flashes of Welker in his game. If you remember when Edelman first hit the scene.
Right.
Welker was hurt.
That's why all fantasy owners got so excited when they saw him.
And they thought, Wes Welker, but you know what? I mean, there's a reason why, again, he's not Wes Welker, and he's not in the starting lineup. But I think as many years as he's had in the system, I think the loss of Woodhead is really going to help the receivers get production because, again, it's one less person they're going to be thrown to, and it's also going to be one less person running the ball, which gives Vereen more, or Ridley more opportunities. And I do think you know, Shane Vereen is going to be pretty productive this year. Again, he's not somebody I'm targeting early in the draft, but, you know, if you're picking round 15, round 16, and you're kind of stretching, you need that fifth running back on your roster, I think Shane Vereen's a really good option here.
Yeah,
I agree. There's a lot of fantasy. There's some, again, it's New England, it's Tom Brady. There's some fantasy value all throughout this roster. You know, people are going to take Amendola. People are going to obviously take Brady, Ridley. Gronkowski's going to go late if he's hurt. Aaron Hernandez moves way up in the draft if Gronkowski's hurt. So here's my question to you. Gronkowski doesn't play all in the preseason. When he's going to be back, when would you grab him?
Oh, I'm a risk-averse owner. I probably won't even get him in my league because somebody else will take him. I am just not comfortable taking a tight end who hasn't shown anything, or a player for that matter, not tight end, anybody who hasn't shown his ability to get back. So if he's still battling this flesh-eating bacteria disease or whatever the heck's going on with him, and he doesn't play a single game, sorry, passing on him, which means I would not take him until probably eighth round, and by that point in time, there's no way he's on the board.
Yeah, you know, someone's going to jump on
him. I cannot do it. I cannot do it. I think that there are many tight ends, first of all, that I'd be happy to have. I've never won a championship because I had the top tight end in the league. So I'm going to stick with that philosophy and make sure that I load up on wide receivers and get a decent quarterback. So tight ends.
And there's so many tight ends.
There's a couple of elite ones, and then the rest of them, boy, they can interchange throughout the season almost. You know, so maybe the top four at this point in time, or five, can make a difference on your team and give you an advantage over another team. But after that, forget it. It's a crapshoot.
Well, right. And you're talking about an advantage of maybe somebody else getting 6 points and you're getting 10 points.
Right.
You're not talking about a 15-point advantage.
Yeah. If you don't get Jimmy Graham and you
Aaron
don't get
Rodgers, Jay Cutler.
Yeah. If you don't get Jimmy Graham and you don't get Gronkowski, after that, you need to wait many, many rounds before the next group of tight ends come off the board, and those being Pitta and Witten and those kind of guys. And then
Round five or seven.
Yeah. And then after that, boy, then it's just it's anybody's guess, I think, this year as to who the tight ends are going to really be that explode.
Exactly.
You know, and at that point in time, I might even take a chance on taking somebody who's an extreme, you know, high-risk ceiling because it's a tight end. I don't really care that much about tight end. I just don't. So
because if you're not picking tight ends early, you've got a plus in another position.
Absolutely. And I can take a chance and say, hey, maybe that Rob Houser guy, maybe this could be his year down in Arizona. Maybe not. If not, you can at least be
Logan
average.
Logan Paulson.
Yeah, at least be average for me. He doesn't have to explode off the charts. So the New Orleans Saints, sometimes stability, we've already had a couple teams like this, is all you need to keep going and making sure that your fantasy roster is a success. And the New Orleans Saints, it's, you know, straight ahead, steady as usual, looks like on offense.
A lot of players, a lot of names, a lot of brand names. Drew Brees is going to be a top three pick. Again, if your quarterbacks get 4 points, a touchdown, maybe he goes a little later. But in your standard redraft leagues, I mean, you're talking Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, interchangeable one and two.
Right.
I think I lean towards Rodgers, but Drew Brees can't go. I mean, it's 1-1A. Still has his offensive weapons at the throw to and Graham, top tight end going. He's probably the one and only tight end who'll go now with Gronkowski being hurt. It's going to go into second round, maybe even first round, depending how gutsy you are. You better have a plan if you're taking Jimmy Graham in round one. But, you know, again, Colston's a good round 3 to 5 wide receiver. Lance Moore's a good 7 through 10 round wide receiver. You know, Joseph Morgan's going to step up, someone you can get late in the draft. Their running game's crowded. They can't seem to get a rhythm with their running game. The only running back to me worth drafting is Sproles, especially in a points per reception league. But I'm staying away from Mark Ingram unless it's real late in the draft and I'm out of options. Same thing with Pierre Thomas. They just don't run the ball enough. And honestly, Mark Ingram hasn't proven he's a good goal line guy either for a guy his size.
No.
You know, you got to remember, these Alabama running backs are used to having humongous holes to run through because they have, you know, 5 NFL-ready linemen in front of them, you know, that are just that much better than the defense, where in the NFL, it's all equal. And they don't have these humongous holes. You got to make your own holes or be a little bit more patient as a running back. And that's why you're going to see the struggles of Mark Ingram. And you've had seen the struggles of Mark Ingram. They don't run him enough, which means he can't get into a rhythm. And again, you know, it's just that Alabama running back situation. Colston can be anybody's number one wide receiver and be productive. Having Jimmy Graham there does hurt Colston, but you're still going to get 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns if he's healthy. You're going to get well over 1,000 and 14 touchdowns from Graham. Lance Moore's going to serve with his 8 touchdowns. Broles is going to get 5-7 on, you know, running. Breeze is going to have his 40 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. A lot of fantasy value with the New Orleans Saints. There's really not anything here that I'm saying that's going to open up anybody's eyes.
Chris Ivory left.
Yeah.
So now instead of having, you know,
four running backs,
they got 3. Do you think Ingram will be the beneficiary, or do you think it's Pierre Thomas?
Well, I think if Pierre Thomas was a little bit bigger, that guy runs hard. He runs with an attitude, Pierre Thomas. I mean, that guy carries people. He doesn't go down on the first for a little guy. I really think if he was the running back and they didn't have Ingram, he's a much more valuable running back in the fan. Now he's just somebody that, because you know the name, because you need a running back, you'll take Pierre Thomas round 10, 11, or 12. Probably the same thing with Ingram. Ingram, because, you know, someone may take a chance on him and feel that, you know, he's going to break out this year. He may go early, around 7 to 10. But ultimately, I'm staying away from all those running backs. I may think of Sproles round 7, 8, 9, or 10, you know, that range. But other than that, I'm looking in other directions for running backs. Wide receivers now, it's a different story. You can get Colston in the third round, for sure. That's a good thing, because he's going to be productive. Lance Moore, again, like we said, middle of the rounds. But, you know, Jimmy Graham, if you're sitting there at 15th pick overall, maybe he's worth taking. You know, and again, Drew Brees, you're talking top 3.
Okay, so we were talking before that Ridley, you would consider him a nice starting running back. What about Sproles? Is he a top 12 running back?
No.
No,
just really? Because.
So you like Ridley more than Sproles?
I like
that
Ridley
does surprise
more than
me.
Sproles. And the reason why I like that is, again, crowded backfield. Sproles is a big play. Again, let me put it a little asterisk next. If you get return yards, Sproles a home run.
What about PPR?
Yeah, I mean, it does increase his value, but he doesn't get enough touches in a game for me to look at him as a number one running back. I look at him as a nice flex player. I look at him as maybe a number two if you're desperate. I look at him as a number one if you get return yards. You know, if you get points for, you know, returns, absolutely moves him up in the rankings. But, you know, so many weapons there. You know, the NFL, they're going to figure out a way to stop him. I think this is the year they figure it out. Does get those injuries. He's this little guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going into the season with Darren Sproles as my number one receiver. Or number one running back. No way.
Well, that's right. Yeah, running back, obviously. So you're just not. But everybody else, I mean, so you're looking at Breeze is a top, a third running back. You're saying avoid like the plague, basically. And the first one off the board is Sproles.
I would say it goes to me, Sproles. It's going to go Sproles, Ingram, Thomas. To me, it should be Sproles, Thomas, Ingram. But, you know, again, if it's late in the draft, I mean, you know, what you have to hope for, and you never really, you know, again, you don't want to hope for this, but it is fancy football, and it's a factor. You hope one of them gets hurt, and that makes one of them exclusive.
Yeah, a little bit more, obviously, for us.
Yeah.
I'm very high on Sproles. I'm a guy who says he's shown me in years past that he is an absolute asset in that offense, so they keep him in there to catch those passes. He's a guy who's very consistent. If he doesn't get the rushing yards that game, he manages to get the receiving yards. So I like him a lot. He's somebody who's very consistent from week to week. That moves him up on my board quite a bit. So I would say he is a first, or at least borderline starting running back.
Yeah, that's close. But again, with Saints, you're going to score a lot of points.
Right, and that's another reason why I like them.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is going to be, it's going to have holes in it. I mean, they're converting to the 3-4, which means they have a lot to learn.
Yes.
Usually that first year is never impactful. They never come in and they lead the league in anything. They're going to give up a lot of yards, a lot of points, which means the offense is going to have to stay on the field. The offense is going to have to continue to score. And they're not going to be able to sit and hold leads, which, again, makes every Saint valuable that's going to see the field, because that offense, I mean, you're going to score 40 points a game.
Well, and that's who they addressed was their defense, obviously. They had struggles, so they went in defense and they took a safety in the first round to try and at least try and shore that up maybe a little bit, because they had some struggles.
They're going to be moving some defensive linemen, outside linebacker. That's never really been a major success story around the NFL. You're not going to take Will Smith, move him outside. You know, It didn't work with Dwight Freeney. It's not going to work with Will Smith. So that's going to make a year transition. Again, didn't work with the guy from Green Bay. What was it? Campman. So, again, this is what this defense is going to be. And it's going
to
be
what's happening to Will Smith?
Very generous.
I'm sorry. What's happening to Will Smith?
He's now going to be an outside linebacker in the three.
Oh, they're pulling a Mario Williams on him?
Yeah, Mario Williams and Dwight Freeney and Aaron Campman. These were good. Baja Biamilia from Green Bay. These are guys that were really good edge rushers in a 4-3. They're moving them outside.
Will Smith.
He's just a little too big.
He's too big. He's not built for that. I don't see how. He does have really long arms. I mean, I'll give him that. So he can make up for it with that. But
Again, which just basically means they're not going to get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, which means teams are going to score on them. And again, they're going to be going against Atlanta. They're going to be going against Cam Newton twice. They're going to be going against Tampa. These are teams that could score. So there's six games right there.
Like you said, a painful transition because they're moving to a defense that they don't really have the players for, obviously.
It takes a couple of years. If you're going to commit to the 3-4, let's look at Green Bay. You know, when they brought in Dom Capers and Kevin Green to run that 3-4 their first year, they were pathetic.
If you're asking Will Smith to move back into there, I think you're asking an awful lot of him. He has never done that. He's never been an – even going back to college, he's never been a guy who's stood up back there.
He's always had his hand on the
ground. Always been down, always used those long arms for leverage to get in there, and wow, that's going to be
– interesting.
Interesting. Very interesting to do that. So
to me, it just adds to the value of the guys on offense because they're going to be seeing a lot of time on the field.
Absolutely. The Giants, again – it's another stable organization. They keep moving forward, but they did have to make a decision at running back, and it looks like they may have, though, huh?
Well, David Wilson showed some really good signs after his first carry and fumbled last year and was crying on the bench. He looked really good at the end of last year. Now, whether he can carry the load, who knows? But you know what? If I'm picking in the second or third round and it looks like he's the guy and they don't really, you know, Andre Brown is, you know, kind of a couple of game guy. He's not somebody I'm really impressed with or concerned that he's going to come and take carries, too many carries from David Wilson. If they don't bring in another running back to compete and take away carries, David Wilson, I'm very comfortable with being my number one running back.
Mm-hmm.
He's got home run capabilities. He's big enough to get goal line. He can take it to the house from anywhere in the field. So if you get points for anything over 50 yards, you're going to maybe get two or three touchdowns this year from him over 50 yards. I can catch the ball out of the backfield. I'm not sure if they're going to use him as a kick returner or not, if he's the starter.
That's not a good sign.
But if they do, I mean, he's going to be valuable, even more valuable if he's going to split carries with Andre Brown, he'll get return yard. He'll get the returns also. But I still like him as my number one because I still think this is a guy who can carry the ball 12 times, get 100 yards and a touchdown because he's going to take one to the house. He's going to get 40 yards receiving with 4 or 5 catches and return yards on top of it. This guy got 300 yards in one game.
See now, but he scares me more than Sproles by far. Sproles is at least consistent, but Wilson, he is explosion.
Higher upside.
Oh, absolutely. He's got huge upside.
You may have the next, somebody like a Marshall Faulk type guy. Extreme comparison, but who knows? We haven't seen what this guy could do, but we know he's fast. He's elusive. Take to the house at any time, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. All the things Marshall Faulk was able to do. He's got a great quarterback. Now, as long as he can pick up the blitz and keep that quarterback standing up, he's going to see probably 65, 70% of the snaps. Andre Brown will spell him, but not be his, you know, they're not going to split series. Add the fact that they got three really good wide receivers, two of them that are unhappy, which I'm not thrilled about. But Hakeem Nicks is a good number one receiver, as is Victor Cruz. Again, a lot of fantasy value here in New York.
Did Cruz sign?
No.
Yeah, see, so that's – I mean, he's not – has anybody even had a feeling that he's not going to sign, though, with New York?
I think he's going to be like a Mike Wallace was last year, where he's going to hold out to the last possible second. He's not going to stay too long out because he wants to get his tenure, so to speak.
There has been like zero rumors of him even going to another team.
Well, the thing is, too, is Hakeem Nicks was a no-show to OTAs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this guy, you know, needs to get in there and get healthy because this guy can't play 16 games. That's why if I'm picking and I need a wide receiver and Cruz and Nicks today, I'm taking Cruz.
Really? Even though he's not signed?
Well, both of them being available and signed. Let's go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then, yes, I agree with you.
I think I'm taking Cruz only because he's healthy. He stays healthy.
Nick's got some knee. I don't even know if he's got his entire knee anymore. I don't know what's up.
Well, right. And the thing is, it seems to be that Manning and Nick's have to be in a rhythm, which they never got into last year because he was out so much. And that's why Nick's was really a fantasy non-factor last year. Again, brand name. People are going to think of past production. I really think a sleeper in this draft is Reuben Randall.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the guy came on strong last year. Dominic Hickson's gone, so he's now the number three. With Akeem Nicks always getting hurt, he's going to see a lot of starts. He's a nice-looking receiver. He has a build. His build reminds me a lot of John Taylor. If you look at him, you know, the number and everything, it just reminds me a lot of John Taylor, just the build and the way he looks in a uniform.
Good guy, yeah.
Good running after the catch. I think there's really high upside from Reuben Randall. So here's a value pick for you, you know, late rounds. Look at Reuben Randall. Again, you got a team that's going to throw the ball.
You have a wide receiver who can't stay healthy.
You know, is Victor Cruz going to pull a Mike Wallace where he's not going to be overly aggressive because he doesn't want to get hurt and ruin his chance at a big contract, which means you're going to say, hey, look, Reuben Randall, this is going to be – you're the main guy. You're the only guy that Eli Manning can trust. Do yourself a favor. Get Reuben Randall on your roster, and you will be happy for it. And, again, you get him late 10 or later. It's still the draft. And people are going to go back and say, oh, this guy got Reuben Randall round 12. What a steal.
Yeah, how did I not sign him?
Yeah, I mean, you've got a franchise quarterback. When you have a franchise quarterback in fantasy football, when there's a franchise quarterback, there's a little bit more value with the number three wide receiver on that team than, let's say, a team that has a Jay Cutler or, you know, obviously a Mark Sanchez or a player like that because they just throw the ball more.
What about the tight end? They got that hot commodity in everybody's waiver wire pickup in Brandon Myers.
Yeah, I don't get why they didn't bring back Martellus Bennett.
Working out too well for him, obviously.
Well, he looked like he had some big plays. He looked like he opened up the passing game in the middle of the field. You know, everything I've heard about the guy, he's just stupid. You know, and I think it just frustrates the teams he plays for. So I was kind of surprised that they didn't resign. Maybe that's, you know, there's some value in that those type comments. But ultimately, Brandon Myers, again, sleeper tight end, mid to late rounds as your number two. If he pans out and you got him as your number two and your number one's Witten, now you got some trade bait for one of those guys. Again, a lot of fantasy options on the New York Giants offense.
They also had one of the most intriguing signings or draft picks in the quarterback where they went out and got Ryan Nassib, this poor guy who was mentioned as being the Buffalo Bills starting quarterback, being selected in the first round, just took a tumble, kept falling. And then as a fantasy owner, you're hoping he lands in a favorable situation, but then he falls into this one.
Yeah, which basically means what the Giants have done is they're going to play him in the preseason this year, next year. He's going to look really, really good.
They pulled a Belichick, didn't they?
Yeah, and then they get like a Kevin Cobb or a Matt Flynn. He'll get traded to a team desperate for a quarterback. Giants will get a couple of nice draft picks for him. That's what they get him, fourth round.
Just too good of a value to pass up. After
right, which means they could probably get a second. When they go and trade him, they'll probably get a second for him. And so basically, it was best player available. Let's get, you know, a quarterback who we know is never going to play. Let me put it this way. If Eli Manning goes down, I might as well be the quarterback of the Giants because they're not going anywhere.
Yes. It's a pretty sharp move by the Giants to go ahead and grab this guy.
It's looking to get future rewards. He's not their quarterback in the future. Manning's not that old. He's what? It's been in the years. Yeah. It's 2009 years in the league. He's got 5 or 6 years. You know, you can't ask this guy Nassib to sit as a backup 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, his contract will be up before that anyway. So
yeah, Manning hasn't been hit in 9 years. It's not like Roethlisberger where, you know, the window's closing because he's getting his head kicked in on a yearly basis. Mannings don't get touched.
No.
It was a shrewd move. It was a good draft. What else are you going to get? This is a roster that's going to contend for a championship. They didn't have a lot of holes. So they got a top quarterback that they're going to wind up trading for a second round or maybe better draft pick, you know, a year or two down the road.
And that was the only fantasy relevant guy that was even taken by the Giants. You know, the rest of them were all linemen, which is great.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll tell you, if you're in a redraft league or a dynasty league, you're in it for the long haul. and you're at your third or fourth round pick, and you're like, all right, I take a safety and take this Nassib, get it, give him a nice 5-year contract, leave him on your roster because he will be a starting quarterback for someone somewhere, either next year or the year after.
Hey, you guys can follow us on Twitter at the Fantasy Blitz. I'm getting a little more active on there now. Actual news is coming, so when actual news comes, I'm gonna post it. So make sure you follow us. Got any questions, go ahead and fire them off to us. I'll try my best to get back with you as quickly as possible. For Chris Polina, I'm Kyle Amler. This has been The Blitz, and thanks for listening.
Have a good one.